Hello, I'm gonna give it a few more minutes and see if other people trickle in. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and get started. So our agenda for the day, just some housekeeping. Last week, I attended the data import SIG, and on that meets on Wednesdays from 1 to 2, and they are now starting to look at EDIFACT invoices and orders and what to prioritize in those areas. So if that is something that is of interest to you, they are planning to create a survey, and I will go ahead and share that once that comes out. I know they've been pretty good about also adding to our Slack channel whenever they have more information that's applicable to acquisitions. So if you are interested in those areas, I think they're looking for, just what you would prioritize under EDIFACT invoices and orders. So that's something to keep in mind for that. We did have two new implementers topics added. So Heather and Dennis are both out today, but I believe Joe is here. And so we're gonna go through those and talk about that. I have noticed, so the implementers page has been getting a little bit squished. I'm not sure if there's a fix for that. I've tried to play around with it for a little bit, but if anyone has a better idea of the wiki and how to get this not so crammed together, I'm still investigating how to do a fix for that. So instead, I decided to do PowerPoint, and hopefully that will be a little bit easier for everybody to see. So I think Anne is here today, and she had the first topic,
I am.
number 188.
So we were in the process of updating some of our fund reports, and the financial person and myself was trying to tick and tie it to Folio, and the unavailable balance part of the report was not balancing. And it's not balancing because if you have a fund that has a credit balance, the unavailable in the fund is showing zero, not the true negative balance. And like I said in my thing, I understand kind of why it's being done, but the financial person in me would prefer to see the negative in the unavailable because I want to be able to tick and tie my reports to Folio.
What version are you in, just for the record of this release? Did you say
Ramsons,
Ramsons?
Ramsons.
Okay,
I had to
because
think about
no,
that. I'm sorry.
that's okay. We're so far behind. We're still in Poppy, and so I just don't know where things are and other. But I did look in the documentation, just, and this is what it says under budgets for unavailable, which sounds
It
like
doesn't
what.
really say that if it's.
Like, because it's mentioning credit here, that's what you're hoping for, right?
Well,
To have.
yes. I mean, so it doesn't say that if there's a credit balance, it would show zero. But
Right.
here's the other thing. So I have one fund. I do an expense transfer at the beginning of the year to put expenditures in the correct fund, but it's going to be spent out of another fund. The other fund currently is a credit balance. But the charge is appearing correctly, But because the other fund has a credit balance, it's not reflecting in my unavailable. So I'm only really showing a portion of the expense transfer that I did because of the unavailable showing a zero. They basically should net against each other.
So, does anyone else have thoughts about this? Has run into this question? Sorry, Susanna, I don't think we can hear you if you're speaking.
That was a mistake, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Is anyone opposed to this?
I'm thinking my way through it.
Okay, that's okay. That's totally fair.
Probably
Well,
need.
so what I kind of said in my thing, Joe, was also I could understand this being applied to a dashboard, you know, where if you want to show quote unquote the true unavailable, but I think Folio for integrity purposes should reflect what's in the fund. But that is my thought.
Right. What we're consistently running into is this is the way it should behave, except when it shouldn't. And like, it seems like this ought to be obvious, but it also seems like things that ought to be obvious then, 6 months later, well, except when it's this. So that's what we're continually dealing with, because I feel like we had a conversation. I don't remember with whom, and I don't remember with when, but I feel like I had the exact inverse of this conversation.
Oh, okay.
Because of issues that appeared to inject money into the overall budget when no money had actually been injected. So, I mean, and it's not like, so are you talking about a case where you get a credit from a prior fiscal year that's being refunded, or are you just doing a lot of shifting of money back and forth among different balances or among different funds?
So the transfer I was talking about is a transfer I do at the beginning of the year because we have two major funding sources. We have endowed and we have contract college. So in order for expenses to appear on the contract college side, I credit the general fund where the expenses are going to come out of, but then I charge the contract college funds so that it appears correctly for the contract college side. But right now, the fund that received the credit outweighs the expended balance right now. So right now, it is showing unavailable as zero. So only part of that expense transfer is being reflected in my unavailable balance.
And I think, part of the other challenge is that, okay, so you've got total funding of $11,737. And on top of that, you've got a credit of $35,465.63.
Right, because this is just my discounts fund, because this one will always be a credit balance, basically.
Right. So you're unavailable. Then you would have like a negative 30, your unavailable would then be negative 35,465.63, or would it be negative, like, okay, unavailable zero means everything is available. So But if you're going into credit, then are you talking about, mean, the very definition of what negative amount is unavailable then becomes complicated, because is it negative 35,000 on top of the 11,000, or is it the total, like, because your available balance shows correct.
Right. Well, your unavailable is your encumbered and expended minus credited, correct?
I think we might have logic capping it at zero.
Right.
Because, and I don't remember why, but I feel like it did come up. This is something I probably have to discuss with both Dennis and Damien.
Okay.
I see Sarah has her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so I'm also trying to get my head around this. So I guess I'm somehow not understanding. So if you what amount, so your available balance is 47,000 something something. So how would that square with your unavailable if there is now some kind of amount there? Because I was also interpreting the zero amount indicating for unavailable, meaning that everything was available, the whole 47,302, blah, 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 right now, which is your total funding plus your credited amount.
So I'm simply trying to balance my, any report that we create for funds to folio. And when this automatically flips to zero, we no longer can tick and tie a fund report to folio for unavailable.
So, if you had something encumbered here, let's say at $50, just to make up a number, then would that then be what you would want to see reflected as
No,
$50 unavailable?
I want to see the negative 35, 465 or whatever
But why
for.
is that unavailable? I guess that's what I'm missing. I'm not understanding why that is unavailable.
I understand what you're saying, but my point is we need to be able to tick and tie reports. And because reports don't apply the same type of logic, you can't tick and tie a report. And I know not everybody uses reports or MetaDB, but Folio is our official record. And if our report doesn't balance to Folio, I'm thinking, that causes an issue for an auditor. Just because there's a credit balance in the fund.
Kimberly?
I think I'm with Sarah, that if there was an encumbered awaiting payment or expended amount, that's what would be totaling in unavailable, right? So it would show that the credit balance is negative, but those things would be summing against the unavailable to come up with the available balance. I think I'm also confused as to, like, unless there was something in encumbered and awaiting payment, and there was something odd getting reported here, this looks correct to me from an accounting standpoint.
See, and from an accounting standpoint, to me, I can't balance the reports. So it doesn't look right to me.
So maybe the problem is with the report side. Maybe the reports side needs to be, the logic there needs to be adjusted.
But you're filtering it And you should be able to run the report without filtering it.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with this area. Is this a this is a field in the report that you're pulling for unavailable, or what are you comparing it against?
Hold on. I don't know if I have one open because I have. Wrong place.
I guess the better question to help me understand what you're wanting it to be is what number do you think should be an unavailable here in this screenshot?
The unavailable should be the credited amount.
Ooh.
But isn't the credit available to be spent?
It is, in theory, yes.
I think that's why in my head I'm looking at you had $11,000 come into the fund in transfers plus this credited amount, so that's what's available to you. You wouldn't want it to be reported as unavailable. That's money that's spendable, correct? I see Joe's comment.
And personally, on this fund, it'll never exceed because what we do is we transfer money from this fund to cover expenses and other funds. And I can't quickly find what I'm looking for, unfortunately.
That's okay, no
Of
worries. I was
course,
just,
of course,
yeah,
I
it
can't.
happens that way. Maybe we can look at it later. I was just curious. You know what it is you're comparing it to, I guess, and what that is in the reporting. This is from MetaDB, is that correct?
Yes, it's a report that we create in MetaDB.
Do you know if that's from like a derived table
No,
or?
no, no, no.
Okay, it is from the actual. Okay.
Yep.
So I would be curious, but the number, it sounds like the number in your report is not matching what you're seeing here.
Right, hold on, I might be able to. No, this one does. Shoot. Oh, I do have it. Hold on.
And I see Joe is saying unavailable is a derived value, not a stored value. So it would be calculating that for MetaDB, Joe? Do you know?
I have no idea how MetaDB works.
Okay, that's totally fair.
I just know that we had to
Can I
redo.
share my screen? Sorry.
Yes, let me stop sharing.
I know we had to do some refactoring of a few things when we split out the credits from the total expended because we needed to have them separate. But
So, sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
That's all I was. I know we had to do some refactoring about a year and a half ago when we split the credits from the expenditures. But I know I'm 99% sure that unavailable is calculated on the fly and not stored because we're simply looking at the allocation. Yeah, the current allocation, encumbrances, awaiting payment, expended, and credited. And then that whole thing is how we then figure out what is available and what is not.
I'm trying to look at our query right now. So, anyways, this is the report that I'm trying to balance. When I sum all the expenditures, credits, and unavailable, when I'm trying to balance it to the fund screen for the year, I'm off. This was as of October 31st, $543, $543,548.36. And that's because I have three funds with a credit balance. That flipped to zero. And the 519 is the one that receives the credit, but the charge is actually appearing correctly in the fund. So only part of my expense transfer is showing in the unavailable.
So I guess just thinking in terms of reporting and then in terms of the UI, do you have a preference on which end this looks different?
Well, my preference is folio's not adjusted, honestly, but and they're calculating the unavailable. They're strictly by, in the report, strictly by taking the awaiting payments and expenditures minus credits. So they're calculating it in the report or in the query, I mean.
I almost wonder, I don't know if there's precedent for this, but like of if we need more customization in what shows in finance, because it sounds like Joe, you've mentioned earlier, you've been getting comments related to this area. I know there was also, I was trying to find a JIRA related to this, and I saw the one about adding net expended as well. I'm not sure what the best way to be to go forward with some of this is. Is it something where it would be better to schedule an entire meeting about that section?
I think there may be some value in doing a deeper dive in terms of how all that ought to look and how all that ought to be calculated. Because I mean, ideally, I want to get this done and dusted and set the right way. But it would definitely, I mean, this I think is an important enough issue that we would need fairly significant community feedback to make
True.
the change, because it's the kind of thing where if we go ahead and make the change, other people are going to be like, no, or they might not be like that, but more often than not, that's what happens. So I want to have this thoroughly evaluated and thoroughly discussed and all the options looked at, if that makes sense.
It
'Cause
does. It does.
like I'm really not trying to dismiss your concerns. I totally get them.
No, I don't feel dismissed. I don't. I understand that it should be fully vetted.
And I think given that it's finances, it absolutely needs to be fully vetted. But I also I have to go back and check things. But I feel like I've heard the flip side where unavailable should not be a negative number. And I don't know if it's something we make a configuration piece. I don't know if we change how we do the math. I don't know if we expose different things. I don't know if there's something FQM can do that can surface things differently. I mean, there are a lot of angles in which to pursue it. And I also know that at the end of the day, the math has to be right.
Right, and that's my main concern.
Okay, so maybe for today we will stop there unless there's other comments about it, and maybe we can schedule a meeting further out when Dennis is here also and discuss it further. Does that sound good?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne. I really appreciate it. Okay, the next topic that we have, let me share my screen again, is number 189. And this was from Marie, I believe. And I'm not sure that she is in attendance today. But I know that she mentioned that some others, either Susanna or Sabrina, are either of them here? Might be able
I
to
am.
speak to it. Is this
I am.
something you would be able to speak to, or
Yeah, I just need to go a few feet from the people.
okay.
I need to read it. It's like always, basically, exactly that, what it's written. Duplicate the POLs.
So when I was reading this, I guess I did have the question of would it be duplicating the title as well, like a linked title, or it's mostly the other information
No, the other
scheme?
information, not the
I
title.
see. I see. Okay.
Because often it's like the same fund and the same vendor, and you don't need to fill it out if you already have it and just link it to another title.
Okay. Is that possible with templates at all? I'm actually not sure. We don't.
Is. But they wanted to see like I have already the order, and I just want to duplicate the POL and link the new title or another title that.
I see.
With the templates, you always have to go for another order, I guess.
Is there anyone else who's experienced this and would have interest in this, or just thoughts about it?
Mean, I think if you have a if you have a template and you have POL data defined in the template, doesn't the POL portion of the template apply to every POL that's associated with the order? Or does it only apply to the first?
I haven't tried it and can't say.
I'm pretty sure I use this a template, and then when you do create another, it fills in everything but the connecting to the title.
Okay.
So if it's all the information but for I would try the template. The other thing, this otherwise it might also be kind of like in invoices, when you duplicate an invoice, and it has many invoice lines. You can like if you choose an invoice that has 20 invoice lines and your new one is also going to have 20, for example, you can just you just edit it. You just edit the invoice line and connect it to the new POL that you want to connect to, and then you just move on to the next one and you just move through. You just have to kind of keep track which ones you haven't yet edited. And then it fills in the information that might work with the POL too. But I would definitely try the template. I'm pretty sure it works.
Do you think that's something you might be able to explore and then get back to us on whether that works? Okay.
I
Awesome.
will do it in my test system and then write it in Slack.
Okay. All right. Well, that was all that I had today, was these two topics. Just a reminder that if you would like to add to our implementers topics list, we are always interested in discussing those and bringing them to the group. And if you need any help with setting up an account for that, please do reach out through Slack. Does anyone have any other topics in mind that they would like to discuss before we end for the day?
Very briefly, if we have
Yes,
a couple of
absolutely.
minutes.
Yes.
I posted a question in Slack yesterday about generating CSVs of receiving pieces, and I heard back from Steve Stroll. But I'm just trying to get a sense of if you want to generate an export, a CSV export of your receiving pieces, what is the largest export you would realistically run? And the reason, I mean, in my mind's eye, I was thinking somewhere on the order of 10,000 would be the largest. But I also don't want to say, yeah, 10,000's good. And then somebody comes back and says, I'm trying to generate this list of 250,000 and it's not working. So yeah, we want to plan for performance for the outside. This is mostly for performance testing purposes and making sure that Folio can handle an export the right size, but
Joe, I think somebody responded to you about, being relatively new in Folio, and so they don't have so many pieces yet. And I think that is something that we've encountered over and over again, that if you're new in Folio, then you don't have so many of X, Y, and Z. And so your number seems small, right? But as you are in Folio and you're receiving, for example, in this case, more and more periodicals and other things, your numbers can really quickly grow.
right.
It's just like an inventory, right? Nobody thought that, my whatever magazine has, 1,200 items. And dealing with 1,200 items in inventory on a single holdings is really challenging. And the same goes with the pieces. So, if you're depending on what you need to do and how long you've now been in Folio, the number can actually get really big, really, really fast.
Right. And so Kristen Martin just asked in chat, what are the use cases we have in mind for exporting pieces? And I'm not coming from it from a perspective of a use case I have in mind. I'm coming from a perspective of we're being asked for this functionality and what are the parameters we need to work with it. So, and
Well,
maybe I
I guess
asked the question the wrong way.
for people that are asking for the functionality, do you know what they're planning on doing with it?
Right. And that's what I'm trying to figure out because this came to me from our performance testing team. They want a number. And so now I'm basically coming back and saying, does anyone have use cases? Does anyone have like what kinds of things are you trying to accomplish? because I am fully aware that if someone wanted to run a CSV export of give me every receiving piece we have, if you're talking about somebody like the Library of Congress, you will quickly get into the millions because they receive multiple copies of daily newspapers. And that just gets insane quickly. There's also the simple fact that after CSVs get into a certain size, Excel chokes, just can't handle it. So I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what kind of use cases are there for people wanting to export lists of receiving pieces. Like, I could see you might want to export a list of receiving pieces that are in a late status, for instance. I could see that. I have no idea how big it would get, but just shooting from the hip.
There's a question in chat. This is for one journal or all in inventory. I'm assuming from what you're saying, this would be you could filter from receiving and
Actually, from the you can
or from
still filter
pieces.
from the claiming app. From the
Okay.
claiming app, you can look at every single piece in the entire system. And we've had conversations about being able to export from claiming just to use it as a receiving piece filter because it looks at the pieces, not the titles.
Okay.
And I got to try carefully with that because it can get redonkulously huge.
That's fair. Sarah?
So I don't use the UI, the full UI. I use LD Lite to run a report based on pieces regularly. And what I use it for is I want all things that we've received for a given period of time so that I can update our holdings in OCLC. So I do it in LD Lite because then I can also get the OCLC number. But if I could start doing this in the GUI, right? I've been using in the UI. I mean, I've been running this report since early on when the receiving app did not have all the filtering that it does now, for example, right? That would even be better. I would prefer to do everything in the UI rather than to rely on LD Lite that isn't totally current, right? It's always out of sync slightly for us. So, if I then can somehow export it and then turn it around that I have my UUIDs that I can go to, data export and then dump it out or go to some other lists or app or well, lists I can't import, but anyways, that I can get my OCLC numbers in some way. That would be a way I would use this. And I
And what
want
kind of
pieces because I want to know what are the new things that we've gotten that I have to update our holdings.
and about how big of a file is this in terms of records?
So for me, see, and this is why I'm not a good, I was giving you a use case, but we're relatively small, right? Like just me, Mount Holyoke, not five colleges. I'm only doing this for Mount Holyoke, so that's not big.
No, but I could do a little bit of extrapolation. Which is why I'm asking for a ballpark number. Because I have some understanding of your size and capacity. So if your number is 30, things are going to look very different than if your number is 5,000. It's probably a bad way of saying that, but,
So since I do it like every 4 to 6 weeks, it's usually in the hundreds, fewer than 1,000 in my case.
So if I extrapolate that to a state university system, it would probably be in the four-digit range on the same time frame-ish. But if you were to extend that out a year, that could get over 100,000.
Right. So if I wasn't doing it every 4 to 6 weeks, but wait, deciding, oh, I can just do that once a year, then your number is bigger, right? Like that, the
Right.
part of the reason my number is smallish, relatively speaking, is I'm doing it frequently.
Right. Okay, so I'm kind of thinking for everyday use, I should probably provide performance testing with 10,000, but I might also want to give them 50,000 as an outlier number just to see what happens. I'm thinking out loud here. And I realize this is a very small sample size, but does anyone here see a use case off the top of their heads where they might realistically hit 100,000? I see Susanna says 10,000 should be more than enough. Okay, not hearing anything. I'm going to use 10,000 as a threshold, but I'll also want to test at 50 just to see what happens. I think I got what I need. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joe. All right. Any last questions? Thank you all so much, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.